jacket and my, you know, it's just like, it's not a comfortable place to go, but it definitely, if you want to see the Lord at work, it's a wonderful place to be, you know. So anyway, so I've got a couple minutes that to share, but I'm going to do what I would have shared anyway. So get ready till 1 o'clock, we'll be here. Just kidding. But I'll share a little bit of what I shared with the Cuban people. I was given things to teach on, and one of the things I was given to teach was John 13. It says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another, and by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." One thing, you know, we live in a world that just imitates. We imitate people. Particularly with our teenagers, with our young people, it's like they all, I want to be like this person, and I want to be like that person. And in a world that is so consumed with self, that is so consumed with being original while we imitate others, we need to ask ourselves, who do we want to be like? Who do we want to be like? Napoleon supposedly wrote this. You speak of Caesar, Alexander, and their great empires and their great enthusiasm that they lit in the hearts of their soldiers. But can you conceive of a man dead who still conquers an army, totally loyal to his memory? He said, my armies have forgotten me even while I'm alive. Just like the Carthaginian have forgotten of Hannibal. Like this is our power. I know men, and I tell you that Jesus is not just a man. Between him and any other person in the world, there's no possible comparison. Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and I, we have founded empires. But how did we make these creations? By force. Jesus Christ found his empire through love. And in this moment, millions would die for him. I look in history, I search history in vain to find someone comparable to Jesus or something that could come close to the gospel. Not history, not humanity, not the ages, nor nature offers anything in comparison or that explains it. Here, everything is extraordinary. I mean, Napoleon says, what makes Jesus extraordinary is that he loved. He truly loved. And he said, in this way, men will know that you are my disciples by the way that you love one another. You know, many times being Spanish, traveling in South America or Central America, or you always, and in the army, when I was in the army, there was a Puerto Rican that hated me. And you know why he hated me? Because of the Inquisition and the conquistadores. You know, the way that the Spaniards came with supposed Christianity and they took over. And I used to always look at them before I was a Christian. It's like, well, I didn't do it. I wasn't there. It's like, but now looking back, it's just like, well, wait a minute. When you read this, by this men will know that you are my disciples by the way that you love one another. You realize that people that conquered lands like the Inquisition or the conquistadores, you know, or the Crusaders, you know, that they just weren't his disciples. Jesus says the way that you know that someone is my disciple is by the way they love, not the way by the way they hate. And according to the New Testament, it's not great knowledge that makes strong Christians, but is actually love that makes strong Christians. The Bible says, knowledge puffs up, but God edifies. But love edifies, sorry. And we need to realize that the guy that wrote this was all about knowledge. He wrote 14 letters of the New Testament. So it's not like he's saying we should be ignorant all our lives. But he's saying our knowledge is worth absolutely nothing unless you love. It's crazy, huh? The other day I have a friend that was in California and he got sick. And when he got to the hospital, the nurse says, can you pay for this? He needed to go into the intensive care unit. Can you pay for this? Do you have something? Do you have at least $500? Something. The guy's dying. He's got an infection in his body and he's dying. Do you have something? Do you own a house? And the guy's like, I'm a missionary. And then finally a doctor comes and says, listen, let's not worry about that now. We're here to help you. What a contrast. If you have all the knowledge of medicine in the world, but you have not love, what in the world are you doing? As a matter of fact, if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we all love these verses, and people love it at weddings, and it's one thing to read it, it's another thing to live it. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all that I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. No matter what you do in life, if it's not driven by love, it's absolutely worthless in the sight of God. And I mean that in the pulpit. I mean, if you preach in the pulpit without love, what's the point? If you do leadership and whatever it is, if there's no love in it, what's the point? At home, what's the ruling principle at home? With our neighbors, I was telling the Cubans, because sometimes the people that annoy me, it's going to sound contradictory, but sometimes Christians, this sounds terrible, but sometimes Christians, some things Christians do annoy me. And I'll give you an example, because what I'm saying is we need to love our neighbors. But there's sometimes Christians, they're like, I'm going to clean the house and I'm going to turn on the worship music. I love you, Lord. And they're like, and I'm going to make sure all the neighbors find out about it. And then the neighbor comes and is like, hey, sorry, but the music's a bit loud. Could you turn it down? I'm worshiping Jesus. How can I turn it down? You know? And it's just kind of like, are you kidding me? That's not very loving. You know, it's just like we need to love our neighbors. And if one of our neighbors is sick, the people that should be the most concerned and visit that person is us. You know, I've been really struck on this trip, not because of the trip, but I think the Lord was just dealing with me on something. But Gernot that comes here, they would do this outreach. And Arenal, they go to Arenal to share the gospel. And you know how they share the gospel? They say, look, tomorrow we're going to be praying all day for people. And we would just like to get your prayer request. Is there anything we can pray for you tomorrow? And he says they never found any resistance. And then we can sometimes go, it's like, do you believe in God? Well, I don't know. Have you ever told a lie? Yes, what does that make you? A liar. And you're like, what do you expect to reap? You know, and the thing is that we need to be careful in speaking with people, when you go to someone and says, can I pray for you? What you are awakening is you have compassion, and then you're awakening people with the known human need before God. I'm not saying that we can't evangelize and just share with people. What I'm trying to punctuate here is the love behind. There has to be love behind. With our children. And you know what? The Bible says that there's no final value to anything that we do unless it is motivated by love. Everything that we do and everything that we say, we should ask ourselves. And I know it's a tough question to ask ourselves. Why am I actually doing what I am doing? Because Ephesians 5:2 says, walk in love as Christ Jesus loved us and gave himself for us. And you know what's amazing? This love is not just to be something that we feel. You know, I'm like that. You know, it's like, oh, I just feel so much love. And I tell Loretta probably at least five times a day that I love her, and I tell the kids that I love them at least five times a day. And Loretta often will say to me, show me. She doesn't do this, but the gist is talk is cheap. Show me, you know. And the reality is that we can feel great feelings, but Jesus didn't love us from heaven with just a feeling of love. He actually actively stepped out in love. It was very practical, the love he showed for us. He didn't consider himself. He didn't consider his rights. He didn't consider his innocence. He didn't consider his feelings. He didn't consider his comfort. He didn't consider himself in anything. He actually left everything to come and save us. And he says, by this, people will know that you are my disciples, by the way that you are like me, by the way that you love one another. Now, we all love people who love us. Don't we? Hey, good morning, brother. Oh, good morning. You know, we just hug and hug. But you know what? He loved us in spite of us. There's no merit whatsoever in loving those people that love you. The worst criminals on earth love those that love them. Thieves watch over each other's backs. Gang members take great pride in, you know, just watching out for those that watch out for them. And we can feel so, you know, have you ever done something good for somebody? They were in a difficult situation and you were moved with compassion in your heart. And you just felt like, oh, no, poor thing. I'm going to help them. And then you help them. And after you help them, they do something to hurt you. And you're like, that person, after all that I did for them. And it's just like that love goes right out the window. And you know what's crazy? Even Shakespeare, not the Bible, even Shakespeare said, love is not love that alters when it alteration finds. Oh no, he said. It's like a fixed rock who tempests come against it and it isn't moved. And I'm not saying this to make you guys feel bad. I feel like I'm just a little dinghy out there just being tossed. You know, it's just like I need to grow in love. And we give up so easily loving. We give up so easily. I mean, think about Jesus, the time he gave to people. You ever feel like, oh man, I have no more time for people. Think of his trips that he did. Think of the detours he took to meet with a woman on the well, or even to go across the sea in the Sea of Galilee to meet a man who was demon-possessed and who was tormenting himself, cutting himself, and he was chained. Think of the patience he had with the disciples when they were with John's bad temper, with the discussions that who would be the greatest while he was looking to the cross, boasting about who would never betray him or deny him, rather, or being denied in front of people, being embarrassed to belong to him or afraid to belong to him. The fact that they didn't pray for him, the fact that Thomas didn't believe him, the patience when they were screaming at him, crucify him, crucify him, or the patience with the Samaritans when they wouldn't have him in the house, or even as you're sitting there thirsty upon a cross, and he says, I thirst, which I have no doubt that it was physical, and I have no doubt that it was spiritual, that you would have a guy next to you say, two guys next to you cursing you, and that he would still have the love while on that cross to say, Father, forgive them, for they have no clue what they do. Man, we give up so easily. We give up so easily. And we need to realize that if there's one thing that God is doing in my life and God wants to do in your life and God wants to do in this world by making them his, is that people will be redeemed to love again as man was supposed to love. That's what his Holy Spirit wants to do, produce in our life. And I want to close with this. The application of this love goes love to God, love to people. But I said this because my next subject that they gave me was discipleship within the family. And I told the Cubans, what good is it? Because sometimes we can tend to be very busy in ministry. What good is it if you manage to win the whole world for Christ and you lost your own family? You know, there's an aspect where we need a balance to be out and in. And you know what? The place where we're going to see love, obviously it's outside, but where we're going to see love being produced in our life is in our homes with our kids. And I almost want to leave it for next week. But anyway, love your kids. But look, the one thing I emphasized with the Cubans was, to the husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husbands. People's lives can be encapsulated by the Bible in such few words. It says that Isaac went to the tent of his mother with Rebekah, and it says that he loved her. That's how it describes his marriage. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that amazing that the description of Isaac's marriage would be he loved her? Full stop. Period. With Jacob, it says that he kissed Raquel, I have it in Spanish here. I have it in Spanish. And that he lifted his voice and cried. I mean, it's like his wedding day. I just love that. It's like his wedding day, he just goes, and he goes, oh, it's beautiful. You know, it's just like, that was incredible. I just love her. But he loved her. And you know what? It's amazing. The righteous men in the Bible, when you look at the righteous men of the Bible, they love their wives. And when you look at bad men in the Bible, you see that how they treat their wives. And one guy that he wasn't his wife, but it was Abnon, David's son. He fell in love with Tamar. which is his half-sister, same dad, different mom. She was Absalom's full sister. And he says that he loved her. He was sick of love. He just loved her. So his friend said to him, you know what? If you really love her, if you're so sick of love, what you got to do is you got to pretend that you're sick. Just tell your dad you're sick and say, look, could Tamar come and help me? Maybe she can make me a chicken broth and just take care of me. So he went to the king and said, could Tamar help? And he was a bit perplexed. He's like, okay, sure. So Tamar went, and it says that he told her, I love her. And then he really forced her to be with him, to the point that she says, no such thing. You're going to be like a fool. Don't do such a foolish thing. And then once he had been with her, and listen, guys, be careful when you feel very in love with somebody that is not just lust. Because after he was with her, it says that he told her, get out of here. And he threw her out. And it says that the door just shut behind her and he locked it. And I always think of that door. I often think of that door of she being raped, for lack of a better word, and the door just shutting behind her. Boom! And her being alone there. Her being alone. And it says this, that he despised her or hated her with more force than he had loved her. The difference between a good man and a bad man. If you're here today, and you feel like, man, it's just not good, my situation. And I told him. So the moment you think of divorce, get on your knees. Get on your knees. Because Jesus said, of course Moses said you could get a certificate of divorce, but he said it because of the hardness of your heart. If I was to say I've never thought of divorce with Loretta, I would lie to you. Do you guys know the story of the fourth floor building? We were in 7 years of a rough marriage, and I was up there, and I'm just thinking, should I throw her or should I jump? And it was a real thought. It was very real. I'm telling you, people laugh about it, but for me, it was very real. And I had to get on my knees and like, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Because Jesus' attitude towards the church, which is us, which is his bride, says he loved her. He gave himself for her. He was concerned for her. He's proud of her. There's no place he wouldn't take her. There's nothing that Jesus wouldn't do for his church. And his attitude towards us is love. And I want to exhort us here today as we look at the Cubans, as we looked at the text of by this man you will know that you're my disciples, by the love you have for one another. I want to exhort that we would be people, first of all, if we're not believers, that we would say, Lord, I just haven't loved like that. And then you would pray and ask the Lord to give you a new heart. I mean, mankind looks out for himself. I'm looking out for number one. And that can creep. I mean, that's in. And to ask the Lord to, first of all, change our hearts, give us hearts of flesh. And second of all, that the ambition of our life would be to grow in love to God and love to people. Love that doesn't give up so easily. And especially love of our family, love of our brothers in the faith, the ones we agree with, the ones we disagree with, the ones that annoy us. Love to the church as a whole, wherever it is that they're at. And obviously, love to those that don't know him. At the end of the day, people are going to see you before they see Jesus. What a big responsibility we carry. People are going to see my actions before they see Jesus. And I would hate to be a stumbling block to someone saying, well, I don't believe in that Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord. And I pray that you would do a great work in our hearts.